の一歩踏み出す目の一歩踏み出す初めの一歩目の一歩踏み出す目の一歩踏み出す初めの一歩つまずくこと。
This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all over the world gather and catch up on the team that just can't seem to let go of Takashi Toritani. That's right, they are keeping him on the field and in the dugout. Not so much on the field. Anyways, he's playing because the Tigers are still playing, and that is great news, isn't it, JD?
Man, I don't even know what to say. Like I said in the last podcast, I had this team pegged for a fifth place finish. They have outdone my expectations and more. And man, I mean, you gotta admit, this last series against DeNA gave you some serious baseball bang for your buck. It was an awesome series to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So by the way, JD is out in Kyoto. I am your host, T-Ray. I am in Nishinomiya, home of the Tigers. Today is October the 8th, and this is episode 107. I don't think we expected to go this deep this season, but here we are. Anyhow, as you may have guessed, we have advanced through the first round of the playoffs, and so we are going to be recapping that. And of course, the hot topic has to be looking ahead at the final stage of the Climax Series. What is it going to take for us to beat these Yomiuri Giants? So stick around, we'll be right back with some rumors and news. So, shall we start with the good or the bad? Actually, there's not really much good in the rumors and news,
no.
But the good will come in the recaps. So let's cut to the chase here. Speaking of cuts, we have let go of four players, and there might be more to come before the draft, but we have said goodbye to Yosuke Okamoto, pitcher. We have said goodbye to, what was Yamazaki's first name again? Noriharu Yamazaki.
I don't even remember. He wasn't with the team long enough for me to even remember, I think, yeah.
Shinji Komiyama and Hiroaki Saiuchi. So Okamoto came over in the trade from the Seibu Lions with... we traded away Enokita, and then Yamazaki came over as we picked him up off the reject pile from DeNA the same year that we gave them Yamato. We picked up Yamazaki. That was not our compensation pick, by the way. And then Komiyama has been a Tiger for 16 years, but has spent most of it on the farm. And Saiuchi has been with the team about half that amount of time. He's a right-handed pitcher, and he just has not been able to overcome injury and has not been able to get on board and get his pitching back up to what it was expected to be when they drafted him out of high school back in 2011. So if I look back, JD, at our picks from episode, 103 or so, who else, or 104, who else might be on the chopping block? We both said Komiyama, so yay, we were right. I don't know if we should celebrate that. I said Saiuchi, you didn't. You said Okamoto, and I didn't. And then neither of us said Yamazaki. I actually thought Morikoshi was more expendable than Yamazaki, but apparently that is not true. So we got some right, we got some wrong, but they're not really big surprises. And, you know, just as we went through the names, most of you out there were probably saying who? And even JD and I were kind of like, I don't remember this guy. I don't know what to say about him. So should we move forward?
Yeah, let's just move on. Yeah, I mean, I wish these guys all the best, obviously, whatever comes in the future. Hopefully they can resurrect their careers. But unfortunately, it's going to have to be elsewhere. So thanks for your service, guys, and good luck.
Yeah, actually, most of them, if not all of them, are still undecided about what they want to do in their futures. So if we ever receive that news, and if it is relevant, we will announce it, but probably won't be relevant. Okay, speaking of guys that have left the team, Randy Messenger actually headed home. I believe it was on September 30th or even October 1st. I think it was October 1st, maybe 2nd, like very soon after the season ended. But, you know, before the postseason started, he was back in America already. So, you know, I guess he's staying true to his word and saying, hey, this is my family's time and I'm not spending it, you know, doing baseball anymore. So there you go.
I wonder if if the team actually manages to move beyond the series against the Giants into the Japan series, if he will, you know, make a reappearance at some point.
Like on the mound or just in Japan?
Oh, no, just in Japan. No, not on the mound, of course, but in Japan, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be nice to see. I think probably this is the way that I imagine it, and it goes, you know, it's a big stretch. This team wins the Japan series this year, and they have their usual parade, or their Nippon-ichi parade. Guaranteed he'll come back for that. Yeah, but I don't know if he would necessarily come back to watch games or to be near the team to celebrate, because he can't really be in the dugout or anything, right?
Yeah. I suppose that's true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of guys not in the dugout, you may have noticed in the Bay Stars series, Pierce Johnson was not available. He was not even in Yokohama. He was not even in Japan. He went back to America because his wife gave birth to their first child. I believe it's a girl, and she's healthy, and PJ is happy. And no news as to when he will be coming back and if he will be coming back this season or not. Any thoughts on that, JD?
Well, you know, I mean, it's easy as a Tigers fan to be like, oh, man, we want him back here. But, I mean, here's the thing, you know. This, you know, for these guys, baseball is their job, right? And it's like, I mean, I don't know about you, but as a father, like, I wasn't at work the day my daughter was born, you know, so I mean, this is naturally something that you have to be at as a you know, father. And you know, I can't say anything about that. Just hope he has a great time welcoming his kid into the world. It's a really special time, hopefully, I mean, it would be great, obviously, to see him back here for the series against the Giants. We could really use his help. But if not, you know, hey, family comes first. So just enjoy your time is all I'd like to say to him, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like, even if the playoffs never come around again in his career, and he says, "Oh, I missed out on my one chance at the playoffs." You know, on the other hand, if he had stayed here, he'd be saying, I missed out on my one chance to see my first child come into the world. So, you know, there's no comparing the two. So obviously he made the right choice, and we celebrate and we congratulate him and his wife on the addition to their family. We've got one more guy, though, that we need to talk about who is not going to be back anytime soon, and that would be our boy Yoshio Itoi, who apparently is going under the knife, either went under the knife today or it's going to be tomorrow or very soon. But he tried to rehab, he tried to make a comeback, but he was having some, I think, tendon or ligament issues. And so he is done for the season and won't be back until the spring.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's obviously a bummer. You never want to see a guy go down to injuries, but the team has managed to pull through without him. So, I mean, you know, just I guess I just wish that he, you know, takes the time he needs to recover properly and can hopefully contribute next season. And yeah, so just rest up.
I wonder what's going to happen to him next season even. I mean, not that we wouldn't have a spot for him or anything like that. But, well, we can talk about this in the offseason or in the spring. But right now, the first thing that comes to mind is he and Fukudome platoon next year.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe a 4-2 ratio. Like if a week is six games, you give 4 to Itoi and 2 to Fukudome. Mm-hmm. And just keep them, you know, keep them well rested.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. All right, well, that's it for rumors and news for this week. We might be back with more the next time that we talk because the NPB draft is taking place in 8 days' time. So who are we going to get? Or pardon me, 9 days' time, I guess. 8 by the time you get this. Yeah, who are we going to get? That is something that we can be on the lookout for. But probably, I don't know much about these guys. Do you?
No, I haven't. I haven't even looked at any of it yet. You know, I mean, and that's just me. I mean, I can't even imagine what Yano is trying to do, you know, trying to manage a team through the playoffs and also figure out who to best pick up for the draft. So, no good information yet, but hopefully we'll be able to bring you guys some more information sooner than later.
Well, I'll tell you, it will be a post-draft report rather than a pre-draft report because I ain't doing the homework to prepare myself, let alone prepare all of you for the draft. So, yeah, but we will bring that news to you when that time comes. But let's dive into the recaps because we had some exciting ball this past week. Recap! So, man, game one could not have started any worse than it did, man. First of all, it was Yuki Nishi on the mound for us and Kenta Ishida, I believe his name is, for the Bay Stars. Kind of an unexpected start for them because we thought it would be Imanaga, but he ended up being their kind of like their ace in the hole in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And he came into several games in this series, but yeah, that was the start. And we actually got a couple guys on base in each of the first two innings, I believe, with nothing to show for it. And in the first inning for them, they took us to town, man. Nishi got slapped all over the place. Hit, home run, hit, and then the fifth hit, So again, no outs. That one actually hit him in the lower ankle area, knocked him out of the game. So 12 pitches for him and he was done. And we were in a big hole. Moria came in and cleaned that up so that we were able to get out of the inning without any further damage. So we got one back in the top of the fourth with a Yusuke Oyama double, followed by, it wasn't a bunt, was it? Oh, it was a line drive to right. It was a kind of a couple of sack flies, if you will, to get us a run. So it's 3-1, but they reopened the floodgates in the fifth. Shimamoto got beat up really bad after 31 straight mounds without giving up a run. So ouch, 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 ouch. It's 7-1. I was ready to turn this off, and I was watching DVR, man. So I could have just fast-forwarded, but I was like, forget it. But I kept watching. And, man, the comeback came, because in the top of the seventh, they put in Edison Barrios for some strange reason. We hit him around a little bit, and then they brought in... did they bring in Escobar in this inning or the next inning?
Was it that inning?
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Hojo got the three-run home run against him. So Seiya Kinami, our Seiya, the good Seiya, got one run on an RBI single, and then after Chikamoto got on base, then Fumiya Hojo hit a three-run home run to make it 7-5. And then in the next inning, with Escobar still in for part of the inning, which I didn't really understand, actually Escobar batted in the bottom of the seventh, and then he came in the top of the eighth. So after he gave up that home run, I don't know what Ramirez was thinking, but man, if we had a corner for what's wrong with you, Alex Ramirez, this would be the time for it. But so anyways, so we got a couple of guys on base, and in comes Hojo again, and he hits one over the drawn-in outfield. He hit it over the center fielder's head, and two runs scored. So we complete the comeback. It's 8-7, and then we got sweet bullpen action with Iwazaki striking out the side in the eighth, and Kyuji getting the final three outs of the game. So we win game one, 8-7. What a thriller. That was the biggest comeback in Climax Series history, I'm told.
Unreal, yeah. I'm ashamed to admit, when they were down 7-1, I couldn't take it anymore. I shut it off for a little while. And I was following along on my iPhone app, and when I saw that Hojo had hit the three-run home run, I was like, I should probably tune back in. So I stayed, watched the rest of the game to finish it out, and it was, nerve-wracking and amazing, and just fantastic baseball to watch for sure.
Man, you weren't the only one that shut it off at that point, or threw something at the TV or whatever. Everybody did it. Every Tigers fan did it, I'm sure. I mean, 7-1, nobody's thinking we're going to see a miracle, but we did. Okay, so any other thoughts on that? By the way, Dolis got the win in that one because he came in the seventh, the bottom of the seventh, pitched that one, and then that was it. We got the lead in the eighth, so... So Tsutsugo with a home run in this game one, and then in game two, actually they got a first inning home run again against Koyo Aoyagi. This was a two-run home run against Jose Lopez. And man, like, I don't hate the Bay Stars, and so when I saw Lopez hit the home run and I saw him fired up, I actually was a little bit fired up too. Not in a good way, of course. I want the Tigers to win, but I was like, yeah, boy, you know, like, he crushed it, and then he showed his emotion like I've never seen him do before, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, he's actually a pretty surprisingly, like, chill guy for the most part. But you definitely saw it a couple times in the series. I mean, there was that home run, and then in the game yesterday, he just missed a couple home runs, and he was really angry about it. But anyway, yeah.
So 2-0 right away. Fortunately, the scoring for them ended there, at least for the time being. But a couple innings later, Tsutsugo again with a home run, this one to left field. And actually, both of his home runs, I wanted to comment on this, they weren't the typical, you know, like, pull it and hit it deep and, like, almost line drive style the way a lot of his home runs were. Mm-hmm. The one against Nishi, he kind of scooped. It was a low ball. It was actually out of the zone, and he just got under it. And then this one as well, I mean, he just... It was not a bad pitch by Aoyagi, and he just carried it into the left field stands. So just showing his skills and showing them in a timely way, because he, we'll say this right away, he's done with the Bay Stars. They're going to post him this offseason, and he is hoping to find a deal with a major league team. So a couple of great games for him, and we'll see that game three was not so good for him. But before that, 3-0 right now in the bottom of the third, and in the fifth, Uemoto came in and got on base, and then Hojo doubled down the left field line, and he scored on that. And then Fukudome got his first hit of the series, and he got us a second run, so it's 3-2. And then the very next inning, we complete the comeback with Itohara scoring on an Uemoto hit. And so it's 3-3. It's looking good. It's looking like we're making another comeback. But almost for the first time in this series, DeNA BayStars actually like manufactured a run in the bottom of the sixth. Yeah. Like they usually don't do that, you know. And I've seen a ton of people comment on this that, you know, when they hit bombs, they win. And when they don't win. But they manufactured a run in the bottom of the sixth. They took the lead. And the game just kind of went from there. I mean, I think we had a couple chances and didn't cash in. And then in the ninth inning, we're down to our final out. Kosuke Fukudome with the big home run. And it was a big home run. Absolutely crushed it off of Yamasaki and ties the game. But that's all we got there. And then in the bottom of the inning, we lost it on a walk-off home run. Tomo Otosaka, who also did it to us 2 years ago in the playoffs, hit a crushing home run. It wasn't a walk-off 2 years ago, but it was on this night. And so there you go. Series tied 1-1. Losing pitcher in this one is Iwazaki, of course. Mm-hmm. And yeah, any other thoughts on this game?
Man, talk about going from a high point to a low point about as fast as he possibly can. I mean, you know, when Yamazaki comes into the game, you're like, okay, it's over. And he got through the first two guys. Chikamoto, and then was it Hojo, I think, who was in this batting second? Yeah. Pretty quickly, you know, he made quick work of them. And then Fukudome with that crushing home run, to just the looks on the fans of the stadium there, the DeNA fans on their faces, was just like priceless. I was shouting from my couch. But then, I mean, you turn right around in the next inning, you know, and that happens. And it's just like, but again, you know, I can't be mad. It was again, great baseball to see that kind of roller coaster ride. So, you know, you knew that the next day was going to be interesting after that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, the first game was decided by one run, the second game by two runs, but it was also decided, you know, in the last inning of the game. So actually now two straight games have been decided in the eighth inning or later, and that trend continues in game three. So we bring Haruto Takahashi to the mound, and they bring Kentaro Taira, who was actually a compensation pick for when the Giants stole Yamaguchi from the Bay Stars a couple seasons back. Taira really has not accomplished very much, but he sure showed his better side in this game. He pitched extremely well. We looked pretty lost. We actually got guys on base a lot more than they did, though, because Haruto, he went through, you know, the first three innings allowing one runner who then got doubled up on a Tsutsugo grounder. So Haruto looking great, but in the fourth inning, we had a great chance to put a run on the board, and so we replaced him with, that was Toritani, right? Walked, and then we had the bases loaded, and Chikamoto grounded out to first or something like that. So we missed that chance. All the way through five innings, there was nothing, no score from either team, and it was raining all game, and so it was quite the intense atmosphere and quite reminiscent of 2 years ago when we played Mud Bowl at Koshien.
Oh, dear.
But finally, in the sixth inning, Takayama hits a double to the wall in left center, and then we scored on a wild pitch. Mm-hmm. So what a way to open the scoring in this one. But actually, we kind of gave it right back to them, because in the bottom of the seventh, Hojo, of all guys, who was having a great series, he actually kind of like, he fumbled the ball and then he booted the ball with the bases loaded. I think he was excited because we had a chance to get out of the inning with a double play. Mm-hmm. Instead, a run scored. Fortunately, it was just one. And then Dolis came in and it was looking pretty dangerous, but he struck out Shibata, and then he got pinch hitter Sano to fly out to center field. So it remains 1-1. And fortunately, the very next inning, we get the run that we need. Again, in the eighth inning, the game is decided. But this one, again, was kind of bizarre because we didn't even get a single hit, except for a hit batsman. Takayama got hit by a pitch, was replaced by Kai Ueda, who stole second, advanced to third on a wild pitch by Escobar, and then Umeno with the sack fly to bring speedy Ueda home. It wasn't that deep of a ball, but certainly with Ueda, you don't need it to be very deep. And so there you go, 2-1. And Kyuji was called on for two straight innings to shut this one down, and shut it down he did. I think nine pitches for the eighth inning, and then he allowed, he walked Lopez. And so that meant that Miyazaki, if he had hit a home run, it would have been a walk-off series-winning home run. He didn't do it. And then they brought in Tomo Otosaka to try some more magic, and that did not happen either. He grounded out to pitcher. So there you have it. Tigers win, Tigers win, Tigers win! 2-1 is the final.
Talk about Fujikawa, man. I mean, through that rain, especially in the last thing, I mean, it was pouring. It was absolutely pouring. Yes, it was total downpour. I mean, his spikes were completely caked with mud. And I mean, he was on the mound. He was laughing. He was like, I can't believe I'm pitching in this. Are you guys serious? But he got it done, man. He managed to get it done. He gritted it out. I know Ueda was the hero of the game as far as the broadcasters were concerned, you know, for the steal of second. And then making it home on for the sack fly, you know, which obviously I think he deserves, you know, accolades for that. But I got to say, QG with a tremendous performance, and Dolise too, to get out of that jam was phenomenal. So, man, weird game. Yeah, I mean, we basically scored our two runs on wild pitches, or thanks to wild pitches in one way, shape, or form. And they got theirs on an error. So it was like, talk about, again, a huge difference from the game games before. Where, you know, there was crazy offense, you know, home runs, like hits all over the place, and then like no scoring hits basically in the next game. So really, really weird baseball, but hey, I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. And so there you go. I mean, you said it all, you know, QG with his two innings, Dolise with putting out the fire like a pro, and just a bizarre game that followed up a couple of games that really were slugfests and really were exciting to watch as far as the offense. This one more so was exciting to watch on the pitching end of things. But you know what? I got to say, throughout the whole series, our guys, our pitchers, despite giving up quite a few home runs, also coaxed a lot of double plays when they needed it. I mean, they kept the ball low and they got a lot of ground balls when exactly when we needed it. And so, you know, props to them. And our batters kind of did a lot more of the same, like in game two and game three, you know, getting a lot of chances and not getting her done, you know. So we, you know, that's Tigers ball now. And I mean, I don't expect that to change moving forward, at least for this season. So, but anyways, you know, all's well that ends well. And we take the series. And again, man, like, we were not expecting to have to do these podcasts at this time of year, you know, a couple of weeks or like a month ago when we did episode 105 or so. We were like, well, just one more and then the season's over. But here we are, and we'll be back for more later. But let's talk a little bit about who you would name as your man of the series. If you want to go pitcher or hitter, that's fine, and I'll clean up with whatever you don't do.
Well, this is going to be no surprise from what I just said, but I'm going to have to go with QG, I think, on this one, just because of the way he shut it down at the end there through about the worst possible conditions. You know, as I'm sitting there having nightmares, remembering that mud bowl and the debacle that we had a couple years ago, I just think that he did a fantastic job. But I really kind of want to give it to the whole bullpen in general. Aside from a few blips in there, I think for the most part they got it done when they absolutely needed to. And the guys who didn't, like, for example, the walk-off home run that Iwasaki gave up to Otosaka, you know, he was getting leaned on pretty heavy in that game already. You know, I think that was his second inning. I think Yano was probably planning on having him in there to shut down the side and then put in QG if they got a couple runs or something. But so, you know, I can't even really blame him for that either. But yeah, overall, I guess I'm just going to go with QG just to shut it down and bring us to the next stage of things and just sort of, you know, the sort of cherry on top of the awesome Sunday that was this first stage of the CS.
Yeah, so a final note on QG and just that ninth inning in the third game. Thanks to QG, Tsutsugo ends his NPB career with a strikeout. Ouch. So that was pretty sweet as well. Yeah. He didn't have a good game three. He also grounded into a double play in the first inning. And then I don't think he did anything much of the way in that game. Yeah, fair enough. As far as hitters go, I mean, I think it's pretty hard to give it to anyone other than Hojo, who pretty much single-handedly, you know, well, yeah, he helped with that comeback. At least, you know, he got the hits that mattered. Other guys, of course, you know, set the table nicely for him. But, you know, his average maybe was not so spectacular in the series as a whole. If I look at it, well, it was 364, which is quite good. I think other than Kinami's 714, which comes in, you know, much fewer at bats. So him and even Itohara in that last game with three hits, you know, I think Itohara actually had a couple of infield hits in this series, which is kind of nice to see. Like, he's not a very fast guy, but he was giving her and getting it done in that respect. Yeah, Kinami, definitely props to him, but I'm going to say Hojo for his heroics. Even in the second game, he opened our scoring, I believe, and then he scored the second run, something like that. And so, yeah, so he was the man. You know, kind of unsung guys that maybe you wouldn't expect to be the ones that we lean on. But, you know, again, you look at our pitchers on the whole, you know, in this series, you think about it, Nishi went zero innings, right? That means 9 innings of bullpen. Aoyagi went 4 innings, and that was the best or longest start we had from a pitcher. Not the best, but that means 5 more innings of relief there, or 4 1/3, I guess, because we got walked off. But then in the third game, Haruto went 3 innings, no fault of his own. But just timing wise, that's what worked. And then 6 innings out of the bullpen again. And, you know, we didn't use, did we use Nomi at all? I don't think we did.
No, he didn't.
We didn't use Mochizuki. And I think there was a couple other guys that did not really get much work. I mean, it was primarily Iwazaki and Dolis and Kyuji and Garcia that got most of the work. And, you know, they did a bang up job. So, you know, props to them for sure. So it'll be interesting to see how they are used moving forward. Speaking of which, we have got a match ahead of us that is just as must-win as this one, if not more so, because we're playing our bitter rivals from yesteryear and yesterdecade and almost yestercentury. That would be the Yomiuri Giants, who won the Central League. So let's preview a little bit of that series. Hanshin Tigers, English League. Hanshin Tigers, English League. Hanshin Tigers, English League. Hanshin Tigers, English League. First off the top, let's explain how the final stage works for those of you who are kind of new to NPB, if there are any of you out there. This is a best of 7 that actually is only 6 games long, because the Giants get the first game given to them on paper as a result of winning the Central League. Also, they get to host the remaining, well, max of 6 games. And so the Tigers are at a complete disadvantage as far as the crowd and as far as even being behind 1-0. I'm actually going to write up a post about why I actually think this format is kind of cool, and I'm okay with it. Most people are not. Where do you stand on that, JD?
You know, I think it's, at first glance, I think it's kind of weird, but when the more I think about it, the more it kind of makes sense. Like, it doesn't really seem fair for the third place team, you know, to have the same, to be on the same ground as the first place team in a lot of ways to me. So I don't really mind it so much. I mean, obviously it hurts when you're the guys going into the situation that we are. But yeah, no, it doesn't bother me so much.
Yeah, I'll just quickly give you a quick rundown of what the article is going to be. The first one is this: you play 143 games, and if you want to give them proper meaning and proper weight and a proper reward for the team that excels during that time, yeah, you got to give them more than just one extra home game. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not even talking about the owners getting that extra revenue. I'm talking about just the team itself. They've put themselves in a position to be the champions by being excellent for 143. You know, things happen, teams cool off, or other teams get hot, or injuries happen. And so to give them just that one extra game and say, huh, there's your advantage, that's what you earned over 6 months, I mean, I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the other one is that, historically speaking, it's not as big an advantage as you would think. 2017, actually, or pardon me, last year, the SoftBank Hawks were the second place team, and they made it to the Japan Series and won it. 2017, the Bay Stars were the third place team, and they made it all the way to the Japan Series. And, you know, once the Japan Series hits, there's no bogus or quote-unquote bogus home field advantage. It goes back to, you know, sharing. And they made it through that whole thing. They played on the road at Koshien, and then they played in Mazda Stadium, and they did it. And Hanshin also did it in 2014. They were the second place team, and they went into Tokyo Dome and won 4 straight. And in about a week's time, I'm hoping to be able to report the same thing to you about 2019. But so there you have it. I mean, 3 times in the past 5 years, a team has advanced to the Japan Series against the odds. And in one of those 3, they've even won the Japan Series. So it's not ridiculous. It's not something that is uneven to the point of, like, why even bother playing? Because series still get won by the road team.
Yeah. And I mean, at this point this year, I'm just happy that they're there anyway. So, I mean, I can't complain about anything.
But I also don't want to say, like, well, good enough that they got there, and if they lose, oh, well. Like, I want them to win, and I kind of expect them to win, or I expect them to at least put up a good fight, much better than they did in the regular season. And that's kind of our next point. The Tigers went 10 and 15 against the Giants this season. And it was a real roller coaster of a season series where we lost the first six, then we won the next four. And then from there, it just kind of kept going back and forth in that manner. The nice thing is that we ended on a positive note. We beat them 5-0 in their final game against the Giants. And so that was kind of a good way to end things. And that was still at the point where it didn't look like we were going to be in the playoffs and the Giants were already, Central League champs. But, those 25 games can get thrown out in a sense because I think the team makeups are quite different. You know, for most of that, we had Itoi. For most of that, we were using Oyama in the cleanup spot. And we had, different pitchers in and so on and so forth. So, both the teams are quite different. And, the Tigers certainly being on the roll that they're on, that is going to play into how this series, this series plays out, I believe. So, I honestly, man, I we just won the other series the other day, and I was not thinking ahead to this podcast or thinking ahead to scouting the Giants, and so I'm not even really up on who their starting rotation is or who they're planning to trot out. Obviously, game one starters have been announced, and it's Shun Yamaguchi for them, who's their de facto ace in the sense that Sugano has not been the ace this year and has been hurt a lot. Mm-hmm. And then we're going with Atsushi Mochizuki, which is kind of a surprise to me.
Yep.
But we'll see how he does there. After that, though, what do you anticipate the Tigers' rotation might look like? And I'm going to try the best I can to piece together a Giants rotation.
Yeah, well, I mean, the latest news I read was that they think that Sugano is going to be ready for Game 3. Beyond that, I haven't heard anything about any other potential starters for either team. So that'll be interesting to see. I don't know what's going on with him health-wise. I do know that we have beat him around this season a little bit, so I'm kind of okay with that. any pitcher that we've had success with this season who wants to come in and pitch against us, I'm great with that. But, beyond that, I mean, the only thing I can think is, the Mochizuki thing was a bit of a surprise to me. I don't really see any other options aside from, assuming that Nishi's leg is okay. I haven't heard of him anything about him being injured, so I think he's probably fine. Nishi's got to be a part of it, and Aoyagi's got to be a part of it too, just based on his success. I mean, Aoyagi has not done well this season at Tokyo Dome, and he's got a 4.91 ERA this season at Tokyo Dome and 4.05 against the Giants overall. Might be a little bit shaky there. Beyond those two, I guess it's probably going to have to be Nishi, Aoyagi, and then Takahashi with Yano probably doing what he's been doing so far, and that's leaning hard on somebody like Garcia if things start to go south early on in the game.
What do you think about Garcia being in the rotation, though? Do you think there's a possibility of that? I mean, we kind of need at least five starters because they're not going to do four different starters and then bring them in on super short rest.
I wonder. I'm not really sure. I guess, yeah, there's a big difference between a best of three series and a best of seven series. But I just feel like Yano's found success with Garcia as someone who comes out of the bullpen to sort of mop up a mess that the starter left there. And, I look at the guys that we have going in there, and I think that it's a little bit shaky. I think that Aoyagi and Haruto Takahashi in particular might be guys who start to go down in flames a little bit early, in which case you're going to need someone like Garcia in there. So I don't know. I'm thinking that Yano's probably going to stick with what he's been doing so far, but I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Well, the Mochizuki start caught me off guard. That announcement, that is to say. And so if I look at the rest of the rotation then, if we do go with just five starters and then maybe use Mochizuki in the last game, if it comes to that, with him starting on Wednesday and then the last game potentially being on a Monday, what I would see is Mochizuki followed by, I was hoping Nishi would be ready by then, but I actually was hoping he'd be ready for game one. Mm-hmm. Remember, he only threw 12 pitches the other day. And so really it's not a matter of, is he rested? It's a matter of, is his leg okay? Mm-hmm. But it looks like Mochizuki, and then I'm gonna guess that Iwasada is gonna get game two because he's actually up with the top squad practicing.
Oh, is he? Okay.
In Tokyo, yeah. So I'm guessing he's gonna be in the rotation. Either that, or they might. No, I can't see them sliding him into Garcia's role that Garcia is in now. Mm-hmm. So likely, yeah, they might keep Garcia in the pen and go with, for example, Mochizuki in game 1, Iwasada game 2, maybe Nishi game 3, Aoyagi game 4, Haruto game 5, and then Mochizuki or, I don't know who, in game 6, Messenger or something. I don't know.
Well, maybe Nishi on short rest. I don't know if Nishi pitches well on short rest or not, but I'm, you know, I don't know. I wonder. I mean, he's, I've, all the guys who have pitched regularly against the Giants this season, I feel like Nishi's had the most success. I'm just kind of pulling that out of thin air. I haven't looked at a lot of the other guys either, but he has pitched to a 2.70 ERA against the Giants this season. So I don't know.
Well, the thing is, the only player I would say that logically makes sense to pitch on short rest would be the starter from game 1.
Yeah.
Because if you're, even if you're putting your game 2 starter in and then you start him again in game 6, I mean, that's like 3 days in between. You know, because they're playing 6 in 6 days, and you know, they're all in the dome, so there's no chance of rainouts, and so, you know, it is what it is. I just don't see. I mean, I don't think Mochizuki's the guy you want throwing in your first and last, unless he's lights out in game 1, and then they might say, yeah, let's bring him back for game 6 if there is one. But
or I mean, unless, you know, the whole idea is again to lean on the bullpen really hard, and if you're fine with just getting maybe 3 innings out of your starter, then that might be, you might say that, okay, a guy who's pitching on really short rest, if you can just go those 3 innings, then we'll be okay. You know, I don't really know how Yano's going to play it, but yeah, we'll have to. It's really going to depend on how the first few games play out, I think.
Well, you look at how the majors do things in the playoffs, and, you know, sometimes they bring their game 1 starter in to close out like the final game or whatever like that, or they bring him in for a couple innings. And I don't know if Yano would employ a style like that, but that might be something that could work as well. So you never know. I mean, these guys are with the top squad, so I mean, and I think, you know, this is one of those series, like you said, is do or die. You know, you win or go home. So I can see them, you know, doing all sorts of weird stuff. Just to make sure that they get those W's and advance to the Japan series. Now, as for the Giants rotation, so if we assume that Yamaguchi is the first day starter, which apparently he is, against us this season, he's just got a 3.54 ERA, which is higher than his season average, and it's actually the second worst. So he's got, you know, he did better against three other teams in the CL. If they use, for example, they've got Yuki Takahashi, who's a rookie who has pitched against us as well quite a bit and quite well, 1.98 ERA in 5 starts. So he's an option for them. I don't know if it'll be game 2 or not. Sugano, as you'd mentioned, but he's not having a great year against us. And then after that, it gets a bit thin, but they also have Toshiki Sakurai, who also had some good success against us, 2.51 ERA in 6 games. And then also they have, I don't think CC Mercedes is with the team anymore because I think they are cutting him this offseason.
Okay.
So I think he might be out. But then also they've got Nobutaka Imamura, who seems to be like the Hanshin specialist because his ERA against us is 2.11 and other teams actually hit him quite well. So that's another guy that I hope we can figure out. I mean, after all these times we faced him, but those are some of the guys that I would expect to see in the rotation for them. But I don't know if you saw how Hara played the last couple of weeks before they clinched, but man, he was pulling his starters really early and leaning hard on his bullpen, almost as though it was playoff situation. So you know, guys like Sawamura, guys like Matheson, Otake, who else did he lean on? Taguchi, I felt like he pitched every game for them. And then even like Nakagawa, who had 67 mounds on the year, which is a pretty high number. And then Takagi as well had 55. So, you know, they've got guys in the bullpen. I don't really like their bullpen from their perspective. I like it from ours. I actually think that if we can get to their bullpen early, we stand a much better chance than if we try to, you know, slug it out against their starters, who seem to have figured us out quite well.
Well, I think, you know, with Yamaguchi, there's a couple of things that make me feel a little bit good about him. The sample sizes are relatively small for this year, but Itohara is batting 556 against him. That's a 9 at-bats, so it's not huge. Takayama's at 506 at-bats. But then Fukudome's 444 and 10, and Kinami's 364 and 11. So it's not like we don't have guys who can hit him, right? So I think, you know, we stand a chance of being able to bat around a little bit in the first game. But again, yeah, it's going to, we have to wait and see what Hara does in terms of his moves with the starters. I don't know how antsy he's going to be to sort of get into the bullpen, you know, considering that they have the one game advantage, but he seems like he's pretty aggressive. So we'll see. From the Mochizuki side of things, it's hard to say because he's pitched so little, you know, but he has given up 2 home runs to the Giants. So one to Okamoto and one to Kame. So we'll see if they can take advantage of him again. I don't know.
Let's see if he can figure things out. And the thing about Mochizuki is I feel like, I mean, he's got a pretty good fastball, but it maybe doesn't have as much movement. Maybe it does. I don't know. It doesn't seem to. And then he doesn't have as many secondary pitches. And so if one of his secondary pitches is not working for him, I feel like other teams can just wait on that fastball. And, you know, if he misses by a little bit, they can really take advantage of it and take it for a ride. So, but we'll see. I mean, game one is just around the corner. And, you know, you all might have watched game one before you listen to this. You never know. But so there you go. One other big question that I have, and this kind of came up towards the end of the series against the Bay Stars, particularly game three, but I think even in game... No, the first two games, Yano actually pulled Oyama after like his third at-bat, so around the end of the fifth inning. And then in the third game, Oyama actually didn't even get a pinch hit. All he got was he was in on defense for the ninth inning, and that was all, I believe. So the question is, like, what are we going to do with Oyama moving forward? I mean, do you think that he is someone that needs to be in the lineup, or is he someone that we need on the bench? Is he a threat off the bench? I mean, obviously, this is a guy that we were hoping was going to be a huge piece to the puzzle, but... What's your take on this situation?
I don't know. You know, I didn't really look carefully at how he plays against the Giants and how he plays at Tokyo Dome in particular, but I just feel like there's no spark there, man, offensively. And I really when I saw that Yano had benched him for the third game, it was kind of like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. You know, I mean, he's got problems fielding and whatnot, at least right now. And I don't really know, you know, what they're going to do with him, but I could totally understand if Yano decides not to start him. I think that at this point, I mean, depending on the starter, there's going to be guys, other guys on the team that are a better option at this point.
I mean, the way that Hojo and Kinami have been hitting, you'd almost think that third and short are kind of decided right there. And yeah. Itohara has been hitting fairly well as well, and that's second. And so, you know, unless Marte gets hurt, I can't see Oyama having a spot given to him. Mm-hmm. So you look at Oyama's numbers, and you know, other than July, where he was a little bit quote unquote hotter, he batted around 240 in the second half of the season. Against the Giants on the year, he's batting 205 with two home runs, and then at Tokyo Dome, he's batting an ice cold 102.
Ouch.
5 for 49 with a home run. I don't know. If you just look at those numbers in the regular season, and if you go purely off of that, I don't see him getting into very many games here. Maybe as a pinch hitter, but even then, you know, we've talked about this on this show before. He doesn't really seem like a guy that thrives under pressure. So if you're gonna even pinch hit him, it better be in a, you know, relatively, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of a low, like a low stakes type of situation. Yeah. A low leverage situation, yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad, man. Because I mean, you know, Marte and didn't really have a lot to say in the series against DeNA either. So you know, I hope that somebody in the middle of the lineup there can start to really put it together. But I definitely feel a lot better having Marte in there as opposed to Oyama, especially after hearing that Tokyo Dome batting average stat. That is just brutal.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so Marte in this series. Batted 250, which is not doesn't look great, but actually he actually walked a fair amount as well. He didn't walk in game three, but I think in the first two games, I mean, he's surprisingly selective with what he swings at, and he's not afraid to let some strikes go by. He also doesn't seem to get too bothered by the ump's bogus calls on the outside pitches and stuff. So hopefully, you know, I think Marte, as long as he's healthy, he's definitely got a spot. And so I could see our lineup being quite similar to what it was against DeNA, especially in that third game where Itohara bats fifth after Marte. And then we either, you know, we seem to have kind of platooned Takayama and Nakatani, depending on, you know, the opposing pitcher. I could see that continuing, but I also see a case for Takayama getting the start. He doesn't seem that bothered by hitting against lefties. Let me take that back. He's batting 296 against righties and 172 against lefties. So maybe he is bothered by southpaw pitching. So maybe it is a better idea to platoon. And then after that, of course, we've had Umeno, who didn't hit particularly well this series, but he still did what he needed to do. He laid down one bunt, he messed up one bunt, but he hit the sac fly that gave us the lead and gave us the series. And on defense, you know, like he blocked a couple of Dolis pitches in the dirt, so obviously, you know, I don't see anyone getting an inning at catcher other than him.
Yep.
So, anything else you want to talk about in this series? Any matchups or any key players that you think we absolutely need to isolate and diminish in power from the Giants, or anyone that needs to step up for us? Who are the key players in this series on both sides?
Well, I mean, I think for the Giants, it's got to be their heart of their order, you know, Sakamoto, Okamoto, and then Maru. Those guys are just the guys who can do it to us. But I mean, going back to Nishi, if I was looking at his stats against them this season, he's held them to quite low batting averages. Sakamoto batted .214 against him, Okamoto .231, and then Maru at .167 against Nishi. So each of them had 15 at bats too, so it's not a really small sample size. So hopefully if Nishi does get the start, he can hold them down. It's going to be up to the rest of the guys to somehow do something against those guys. And for us, you know, I don't really know at this point. I think, you know, thinking more about the Oyama situation, I think the way that Kinami's hitting, he's got to be in the lineup too, which probably just is going to relegate Oyama to a bench position, pinch hitter kind of position overall. And you just got to hope that those guys can come through against their starters and get into the bullpen early, and our bullpen can keep doing what they've been doing so well this year.
Yeah, good analysis. I will kind of just add this, though. Sakamoto only hit .258 against the Tigers this season, compared to .312 on the whole against everyone, including the Tigers. Maru also hit below his overall average against us, and Okamoto actually was right about where his average was against us. And as far as number of home runs, he was about the same as he was against any other team as well. So, you know who I actually think is kind of the key guy is Alex Guerrero, who, you know, he hit .286 against us versus .237 on the year. And he also had 3 home runs, but it just seemed like they were, you know, very well timed, which is kind of unusual for him. He's kind of a solo home run type of hitter, but, you know, 11 of his 21 on the year were solo jobs. I think he's kind of the key, because he's the guy that, like, after you get through the heart of the order, you're like, you know, and if you let down your guard, you know, he's the guy that's gonna he can hit jacks just like the other guys. So
yeah, that's a good point.
He's probably the key. Yeah, and then as for us, I think that the key hitter, I hate to put on the rookie, but I really think it's Chikamoto. One of the things about Chikamoto, you know, everyone will talk, you know, about what a great hitter he is, what great speed he's got, and so on and so forth. And you know, they're certainly not wrong. You know, he's got it. But if you look at his on-base percentage, especially for a leadoff hitter, this is a guy that is prone to not getting on base and not really starting things off very well for us. So his on-base percentage on the year is .313, which is quite low. He only took a total of 31 walks to 110 strikeouts. And, you know, this is not something that's going to repair itself during this series, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on. You know, he even said in an interview, he said, "My job is actually not to get hits, but to get on base." And he's right. And he needs to do something. He needs to figure out something that will allow him to get on base a little bit more frequently. So I think he's the key. But what about you? Who do you think is the key for us?
Oh man, I don't know. I think it's as opposed to just one person, I think it's going to be about just stringing the hits together as much as you can, and just try to manufacture some runs here. I think it's going to be more of a team effort than anything. I definitely agree with what you just said. Having that guy getting on base, you know, at the top of the lineup and everything is going to be huge as well. If he can do that, I think we've got a much better chance. But I think that everybody's going to have to work together for this one.
Yeah, sure. Another guy that just came to mind too is Itohara, simply because if he's hitting behind Marte, you know, one of the reasons that maybe Marte looks like he is very selective at the plate is because they are purposely not throwing him a whole lot of good stuff because of who's following him in the lineup. I mean, a guy like Itohara, whose slugging percentage is a skinny .336, is not striking a lot of fear into the other team. You know, great guy, and he gets on base at a pretty good clip, but he certainly is not the guy that, you know, you want to avoid, or that you, you know, like, you're not too worried if you put Marte on first. A, he doesn't have the legs, and B, Itohara does not hit enough extra base hits to bring him around. And so given the choice, you know, you're going to probably try to pitch around Marte. So I think if Itohara can step up a little bit as well, that is going to go a long ways towards our success in this series.
What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be?
All right, man. So what do you think? Let's go for some bold predictions here.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, my prediction last time, I mean, hey, we won the series. I did predict that we were going to win. I thought that Nishi was going to come in and completely dominate, which the exact opposite happened, and we certainly didn't get a sweep. Man, honestly, I think that our run might end here, and I don't want to be a pessimist about it, but I just think that the Giants, with the team that they've got, and the one-game advantage that we're going up against, I think it's going to be really tough. I don't think it's impossible. I'm not going to try to guess, you know, what we're going to, you know, how many games we're going to win or lose. I figure we can probably take a couple, but I think that the Giants are going to come out on top ultimately. I just think they've got an overall more well-rounded, well-balanced team, definitely more power, and I think that's going to be the difference.
All right, well, you can call it the way that you want to call it, and I'm going to call it the way that I want to call it. And that is as follows. You know, in 2018, I went out on a limb and said that the Tigers were going to win the pennant and that the Giants would finish second, because I'm just tired of playing second fiddle to them. I'm tired of the same old predictable, like, oh yeah, it's the Giants, and, you know, we bow to the Giants. They beat us. That's what they do. I'm going to say this is the year, just like 2014, where we stick it to them and, you know, we just surprise the world. I mean, we're on fire right now. Our guys are hitting the ball well, seeing the ball well. They're actually fielding the ball well. Our pitchers are throwing well. And the Giants have been sitting on their keisters for a couple of weeks, you know, doing intra-squad matches and just, you know, playing out the rest of the regular season. They haven't played a meaningful ball game since September 21st, if I'm not mistaken, which is, you know, a good 2.5 weeks. So I could see us definitely scaring them early. And, you know, if that momentum carries, I'm not going to say 2014 magic and a sweep, but I am going to say that the Tigers are going to take it, and it's only going to take 5 games. So I think we're going to win 4 and lose 1. I think it's just going to keep going.
I think Sanjay sent you a pair of those rose-colored glasses he's got.
You know he did. You know he did. And I'm wearing them, and I'm happy now.
Well, I would be more than happy for that result. I'll put it that way, yeah. And I'm going to be glued to those games. Unless the Tigers start getting beat up, and then it's going to be a bunch of more nervous pacing in front of the TV.
Yep. Yeah. Well, the thing about watching the Tigers and Giants is this, I feel, you know, the wins feel twice as good and the losses feel 10 times worse.
Yes, absolutely.
And man, like, it was like watching Tigers versus Carp for their little run there, where, man, like, just hearing their chants and hearing how loud they are and hearing how their chants often end with, you know, raucous cheering, whereas our chants tended to end with, you know, the groans of frustration. That just, like, it you know, it was burning a hole in my stomach as I watched. And I feel that way sometimes when I watch the Giants, especially when they're doing well against us. But I'm sticking to my guns and saying Tigers are going to the Japan series this year.
Well, I sure hope that happens. I'll have my fingers crossed as I sit in front of the TV biting the nails off of them.
Well, everyone else out there, stick with us, because we are going to be reporting to you throughout this run, however long or short it may be. And I just want to thank you all again for tuning in. And this is a bit of an irregular episode. It was not very well prepared, but I hope you enjoyed hearing us analyze a couple of series here. And I hope that you continue to stick with us right through until the end of this season, which, of course, as you know, is the last one for Toritani. As a member of the Hanshin Tigers. By the way, the Bay Stars are looking into acquiring him. So, as long as Toritani is a part of this team, of course, we are cheering for him, and you are cheering for him, you're cheering for the Tigers, and you're going to cheer for H10, because we're here for you. So, we'll catch you again after the series.
Go Tigers!
Have a good one, everyone.
Hanshin Tigers, it's your ball.